views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. We are in the final section of my Break Free of Parenting Pressures series, where I'm reading you my book, Break Free of Parenting Pressures. Today, we're finishing up part four and ending the book, which is kind of exciting for me because we started this series back in June and now we're deep into September and I really didn't think it would take quite this long, but I've enjoyed it nonetheless and hopefully you have as well. So without taking up any further time, let's just jump right in and finish up this book. Break Free of Parenting Pressures, Embrace Your Natural Guidance. Chapter 13, Keeping a Healthy Perspective. My Extracurricular Challenge. Now this story is actually about my daughter, who was misgendered back then and is now my son. And so I'm actually going to read it to you as if he was already properly gendered because that just feels right to me. And I'm using his name and everything several times throughout it. So if you're confused, that would be why. My youngest son was never into extracurricular activities, although we always encouraged him to participate. Over a span of 6 years, we offered him a variety of options: toddler play gym, music for young children, swimming, scouts, all without any pressure to join and never taking more than one at a time. Despite this, in every situation, he would ask to sign up, get nervous about attending, go to the first couple sessions, and then decide he wanted to quit. Commitment is very important in our family, and since we'd already discussed this prior to joining, we insisted he finish each program. It was exhausting to get him there and nearly impossible to gain his participation. No matter how patient I was when I started out each week, almost every occasion ended in tears for him. Imagine our surprise when our son decided he should sign up for Kung Fu with his brother. It would be in a gym environment filled with many sweaty kids kicking and making loud noises. He dislikes crowds, new environments, noisy situations, and being the center of attention. The chances of him actually completing the program were small, so we did extra talking about what this commitment would mean. He insisted he wanted to do this, and since he was now 9, a couple of years older than he was during the last struggle, we signed him up. My husband was in charge of taking both kids to Kung Fu the first evening and arrived home looking very unhappy. When I asked what had happened, he told me that our son had decided not to participate and there was nothing he could do to gain his compliance. At first, I was furious. A piece of me wanted to teach him a lesson he would never forget. We had spent so much time preparing so this would not happen, and now we were faced with 7 weeks of battling to get him out the door. Worse yet, the chances of his participating after sitting out the first session were pretty much zero. Realizing that anger would not help, I told my son that his dad and I needed time to decide what to do about this and that it wouldn't hurt for him to give some thought to possible consequences as well. I racked my brain to come up with a solution, but nothing came. My husband and I talked about it, and only three things came to mind. Number one, he could not be allowed to just quit. Number two, neither of us had the energy to force him to go. And number three, struggling with him every week to get him there would not be fair to our other son. The next day, I sat down with my son and told him we needed to brainstorm ways to solve this problem. Our solution needed to have a strong learning component for him, and it needed to deal with the loss of the course fee. Picking up a paper and pen, I decided to use my problem-solving idea that I shared with you guys in Chapter 10, and I got ready to write. I identify the problem. Liam was signed up in a program he no longer wished to attend, but had promised to complete. D, develop a list of solutions. This is where we brainstorm. So I suggested Liam could be strong and force himself to participate and finish the program. Liam rallied and said he could go live with Grandma. I suggested we could kidnap his instructor and lock him up so the program could not run. I needed to decrease the rising tension in the room and get us thinking creatively. That's why I came up with this one. Liam offered to pay for the course out of his allowance and not be allowed to sign up for another program for 1 year, which actually showed me that he had been giving this some serious thought. Liam added the idea that he could clean his room weekly, a big undertaking that I would not have thought was relevant to what was going on here. Liam's dad suggested we could fly Jackie Chan to our house to provide private kung fu lessons, an idea that I'm sure he shared just to prove that he could be goofier than I am. Liam suggested that we ask our other son's friend if he would like to take his spot for a discounted price, making both his father and me wonder at his obvious maturity. Liam also offered to attend and watch the program each week, but not participate. Our goofy solutions were quickly crossed off the list as unrealistic, illegal, or too expensive. Liam developed the final solution himself by making a creative blend of a few of them. So the E in idea is to evaluate the solutions and choose what to use. Liam would phone the mother of our son's friend, explain the situation, and see if her son wanted to attend Kung Fu in his place for a discounted price. Liam would cover the difference from his allowance, would attend and watch each session, and would clean his room weekly for the duration of the program. The A is when you assess how it worked. Well, that evening, Liam phoned and set it up for the other child to take his spot. He contracted to pay us the $20 difference over a 5-month period, and with my husband's help, explained the situation to the Kung Fu teacher. He attended every session without complaint and cleaned his room weekly. Since then, Liam has participated in a few programs like drawing class, sewing, badminton, but has explained to me many times that he prefers unstructured activities. Without any instruction, he dances at home and sings constantly. When possible, we take him to free skating and play on the ice in our yard. He swims at our cabin and fills his spare time with writing, drawing, painting, reading, and crafting. He succeeds at almost everything he tries and does it at his own pace, using his own unique style. He did a good job at solving this problem, and I was very happy I let him. What do we need? Time and energy are much sought after commodities in our fast-paced world. For many of us, the pressure to provide our children with lots of opportunities can be very intense. We enroll them in every program we think will be beneficial to their development, and then run around trying to get them to these important learning experiences. This pressure increases when we have more than one child, particularly if we're a single parent, or if they're going in different directions. As a result, the years when our kids are growing up can become a blur of fast food, schedule juggling, bossy parenting, and rushing around. These programs can be expensive, especially when they involve out-of-town events. Financial stress can add to the pressure, yet a parent offered extra work is in an even greater bind. Frustration, guilt, and resentment are common in these situations. It is wonderful to encourage our kids to participate in extra activities. However, we need to keep the big picture in mind. As with most things in life, there needs to be a balance. Here are a few reasons we might want to make changes. 1. Putting a child into many programs can create a lot of stress for our kids. Children need some downtime to process what they have learned. They need opportunities to do nothing and learn how to enjoy themselves while doing it. In fact, that is part of their self-care. Having some structure in their lives is healthy. Having every day structured is not. 2, while our world might revolve around our child, it is not our intention to make him think he is the center of everyone's universe. It is great for him to look out for 1. That is a healthy perspective. It is not okay for him to expect everyone else to do this as well. In fact, we can't model being our own 1 fan and dedicate all of our time to our child's schedule. 3, kids thrive on some routine. When we put our children into a number of different things, the routine might seem similar, as in rush from school, eat quickly, and get out the door, but it is still quite different. Having soccer one night, guitar the next, then scouts on the third requires a lot of mental shifting and can result in acting out. How do we focus on our own personal development and still be a good parent? We do this by taking a look at family activities and commitments, including the extracurricular items, and separating them into categories of needs versus wants. Needs are the things we must do to survive, while wants are the things that we would like to do. We would likely agree that to survive, we need access to food and water. For many, that translates into a need for money, which further indicates a need for income. What's important to keep in mind is that only you can determine the difference between what you need and what you want. Those things we decide we cannot live without become our needs, while all other things are wants. If you are the kind of person who can justify anything, this might be challenging for you to take an honest look at. Perhaps the easiest way to do this is to take those things identified as important and rate them on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being really important to you. Things rated at 8 and higher should always be seriously considered, but be careful not to score everything in that range. Recognize that there are many different ways to satisfy a need. For example, if a doctor told me my son needs to be in hockey to work off his high energy, I might think hockey is a need. What she really meant was that my son needs some kind of regular activity to burn off his high energy. That opens the door to many organized sports as well as unstructured activities. Putting him in hockey would not be wrong, but it's good to have options. In this case, hockey might satisfy both a need and a want. If I put my son in hockey, but he didn't want to play, it would qualify as a need only. Remember that wants are things we will always have and will never be able to totally satisfy. It's good to want things. They provide us with goals to work toward. It's when we believe we are entitled to our every want being fulfilled and punish others when they are not, that we have a problem. Finally, it's wonderful to have supports and allow ourselves to use them to make things work in our families. If there are wants we really would like our kids to be able to satisfy, then figuring out ways to get them to these opportunities, like a carpool, works in our favor. Using a shared driving system might mean missing some events, But when it allows an involvement that might not otherwise be possible, it's a great option to have. As long as we are striving to be part of our kids' lives and taking an interest in their activities, we need not worry about always being able to go. Special events, for example, our child's winter concert, might interfere with our regular commitments, like volunteering or swimming lessons, but recognizing that our presence at these events makes a difference to our kids is important. Juggling our schedule to be there shows our kids their achievements matter to us, even when we have other things on the go. It really is all about balance. By understanding the difference between needs and wants, we can become aware of how balanced things are in our families and then make necessary changes. Remember, you are the expert in your family. If your kids are in numerous activities and the family is happy doing things that way, keep up the great work. If your child seems destined to be a future star in an activity and you want to take every opportunity to make that happen, go for it. Just be aware of the happiness level versus the amount of stress involved and be sure to aim for balance. Free parenting tip: trying to please everyone in your family can create stress, guilt, and anxiety. By recognizing the difference between needs and wants, you can set priorities that work for everyone. Your health and happiness might depend on it. Putting our needs first. Putting your life into categories can be as challenging as getting balanced in the first place. You know your family and life situation better than anyone else. Only you can determine the needs and wants within that structure. What's important is that you are honest with yourself and open to the idea of making changes where necessary. Use your inner voice to guide you. You'll know when things need fixing. Once you understand the difference between needs and wants, you can use this information to help balance things out in your home life. Use the following points to guide you with this process. 1. Create a list of all the activities each person in your household participates in. Look at required commitments like school, work, homework, as well as programs like soccer, music, scouts, and regular requests like play dates, library, family outings. Do not list anything that's occasional. For example, an evening of swimming for a birthday party would not make the list, but regular swimming lessons or swimming weekly for exercise at a free swim would. 2, put an N for need or W for want beside each of the things listed. Note that if a parent is making a child take something, so maybe piano, for example, that would be considered a need. If your child asks to sign up, even if later that season they want to quit, you would list it as a want. Use your family values to help you identify definite needs. Like, for example, homework might be a need, or church, or volunteering. 3, create a table with each person's name down the side and the days of the week across the top. Fill in the grid with the needs listed first. Once they are in place, start adding in the wants. 4, take an objective look at the chart. Is it balanced? Is one person allowed to satisfy numerous wants while another is meeting only needs? It's fair to limit the number of wants for your child, especially if his want is taking up more than one day of the week. I have created a sample family chart, which I will put up on my website at Vibrant Powerful Mums on the blog attached to this actual show. And so you can take a look at that if you want. I'll give a little explanation there about it as well. As our kids become more independent and no longer require us to drive them everywhere, you might find that this chart or this idea becomes totally obsolete. The only caution with this is that sometimes newfound freedom will cause a family to fan out into their personal interests and forget to do anything together. Over time, this weakens relationships, so be aware and perhaps keep a family gathering or two on the list of needs. So where does all our time go? If we were provided with a monthly chart of what is taking up our time and energy, we would probably be shocked at the results. In real life, things have a way of sneaking up on us, taking up a lot of our time, and then becoming important because they take up so much time. Countless amounts of energy can get lost in doing things we don't enjoy or would consider unimportant, and then we wonder why we can't seem to get everything done. Life has a way of taking over and running itself if we don't put ourselves firmly in the driver's seat. It is important that we find balance in our lives. If we invest all our time in making money so our children can lead happy lives, but invest no time in our children, we're missing the big picture. If we put all our time into advancing our career and then get downsized out of a job, our identity is in danger of going with it. There is no award for the cleanest house, and investing lots of time watching life on a screen instead of living it won't provide a lot of life satisfaction. Many people find out what's truly important to them when it's too late to turn back and do much about it. By asking ourselves, "Where does all my time go?" and taking a moment to figure out the answer, we are putting ourselves firmly in the driver's seat before reaching the point of no return. One of my favorite books on this topic is First Things First by Stephen Covey and Rebecca and Roger Merrill. I just found it to be a really excellent way of explaining how we get caught up in those unimportant things that feel urgent. So you might want to check that out if you haven't already. Even though it is a rather old book, it's got a lot of great information. So in my book now, I share an exercise called Creating Your Picture. And basically, it's helping you to take the information that I've shared and figure out where all your time is going and what is most important to you. So I will put a copy of that up on my website as well, along with another activity that I call What's on Your Plate. And I've done a podcast on this show. So if you're interested in checking that out, you will find that there is a podcast that will explain more. And I also have some information that I will put up on my website as well. So with that, we move into the conclusion of the book. And here I have shared a quote at the beginning. "Our dilemma is that we hate change and love it at the same time. What we really want is for things to remain the same, but get better." That's Sidney J. Harris who said that, and I think it's very fitting for a lot of us. So the conclusion starts with embracing change. Changing the way we parent is not an easy task. When things are familiar, they feel comfortable to us, even when we know they don't work. When we try something new, we are taking a risk and opening ourselves up for possible failure. New things feel awkward, adding to our discomfort and providing a reason for avoiding them. With time and practice, these problems disappear. The awkwardness goes away, and we become comfortable with our new way of doing things. Unfortunately, many of us give up change in the awkward phase. We write things off before we get used to them and decide that our kids are just too bad for that tool. Sometimes we'll decide our child's problem behavior is no big deal and not worth the effort to change. If our kids resist the change and their behavior gets worse before it gets better, which should be expected, it's very common, not only do we write off the new tool, we also label the tool as the problem. In other words, rather than push ourselves through the awkwardness of change, we allow the discomfort to stop our progress and increase our resistance to changing. Life is like that. The things that are really worthwhile take effort on our part. Building character and relationships with our kids are not small jobs and will require many adjustments along the way. Helping our kids grow into resilient, resourceful human beings is a journey requiring patience and confidence in our ability. It's well worth the effort, but definitely not easy. People will embrace change once they have decided it is necessary to do so. If others are pushing them to change, even with the best of intentions, they'll fight it tooth and nail. Our energy would be better spent focused on our own areas of growth. Many of us resist change because it means we have to modify learned behaviors. If you've put 8 years into parenting, it's going to be a lot harder to change your patterns than it would be if you're starting with a newborn. Resistance to change is also what keeps us focused and on task. If we didn't resist change at all, we'd never get anywhere. Most of us have met people who can't make up their mind and change their plans more often than they keep them. While this might work for them, most of us would rather be more decisive. As a species, we will not change unless we believe it is essential to do so. We can take advantage of the good moments in our parenting life and work in baby steps to make positive changes. We can make it through the awkwardness and begin to reap the rewards. Embracing the change means accepting that as we learn, we grow, and as we grow, we learn. Free parenting tip. Change is a process that takes time and determination, so be kind to yourself. Breaking free. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not, or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive. The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent. Although it is challenging, parenting is the way we will leave a mark on our world. So let's leave it with confidence. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and let us know what you loved. Visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com to find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms.